everyone, it's Ash Ketchum, and you're listening to Hypeable.com's PokeChat. So download, comment, and subscribe. Gotta catch them all, right?
Hello, guys, and welcome to PokeChat episode 30. This is our first XY playthrough. As you can see, we have Devin, Jack, and Simon. I feel like I'm the Brady Bunch right now because everyone's like, you know, right there in my face and all that stuff. We're here to do our XY playthrough, but we're not going to play the game on camera. That'd kind of be impossible. We're going to talk about our reactions as we go through each and every gym. So we're starting off with, of course, Vanville Town, which is like the palette town of Gen 6, up until the bug-type gym of Santaloon City. And just so you guys know, we're going to be doing two of these episodes per week when we're doing our live episodes for XY playthrough. Our Wednesday episodes will always be at 7 p.m. EST, and our Saturday ones at noon EST. If you want to leave comments on this YouTube stream while we're doing this live, we'd love to read your comments on air, so feel free to do that. All right, so we're going to get right into the beginning screens of when you turn on X and Y. The first thing that I noted was that there weren't any cartoony intros that we've had in any of the other games, like, you know, 2D drawings and movements, or even, you know, like sprites doing their thing and stuff, you know. So, Devin, were you disappointed by that?
No, not really.
Saying, well, I know the reason I'm asking you is because you haven't played a proper Pokemon game up since Gen 2, so you must feel very strange all of a sudden, like, getting into this Pokemon world where everything's 3D and you can, like, turn on the 3D slider on your 3DS and all that, right?
Yeah, it felt kind of crazy, but it's like rediscovering Pokemon almost to me, because I just dive into this whole new world with, I'm missing, what gen is this? Is this 5th or 6th?
6.
This is 6. Yeah, I'm missing a ton of gens now, so all these new Pokemon are kind of cool to see.
Yeah, definitely. All right, awesome. So the next thing that happens is that you get to choose your own language for once. You can only choose it at the beginning of the game. You can't choose it once again in-game. But it's fun because you could play the game in its original Japanese text, which is great for people who can read Japanese, or you can do it in, I think, like, there was German or French. I mean, that kind of fits for the game because it's set in France. So yeah, that was pretty neat to me. I liked that. And I know that, Saman, you said did you say you were really into linguistics, right? You like a lot of different languages. Did I make that up?
You kind of made that up.
I think you're into archaeology, isn't it? Or, like, history, right?
Yeah, ancient history. And I only know a little bit of Italian as part of classical studies. Other than that, not really.
So would you consider playing Pokemon in Italian for fun and seeing how far you can get without understanding what was going on, really?
I'd understand a few words.
Yeah, like, I could do Spanish for a little bit. That'd be kind of fun. Yeah, it's just something I know fans have been clamoring for a long time, so that was pretty cool. So then we have our professor intro for the beginning of the game, and a lot of stuff happens right here. I noted that he said, Très bien. That's a very bad American speaking of a French word. Sorry, I don't really have a good French
accent. Yeah, what does that mean?
It means very good.
Like, awesome. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that was Professor Sycamore, our male professor for Gen 6, kind of scruffy and kind of like a McDreamy from Grey's Anatomy or something. With his lab coat and all that, it's funny. Yeah, so he is giving you a choice of not just your gender in this gen, but you can also choose your skin type, so you can go from pure white blonde hair and blue eyes. You can go to like a medium tone with a brownish hair. Then you can go to like a tan-skinned person with darker hair. And personally, I just chose the middle one because it looks like the main person that I've seen in the commercials and stuff. I didn't really care like what it looked like. I mean, Jack, did you like have a preference for what the skin tone was for your character? I'm sure some people did, but
yeah. Well, I was gonna go to the darker-skinned one, but then I just didn't, because I was hoping that, you know, I'd be able to sort of, like, I don't know, get tanned along, because the middle guy is very white. So
Yeah.
He's very pale. So I was like, maybe if you stay in the sun long enough, you get tan.
Like, you know what? There's a really big divide between the skin tones. It's like they don't really give you a happy medium. It's just like white, a little bit less white, really dark. And I'm just like, huh?
Yeah.
Like, you really gave us a lot of options today, Pokemon. I mean, I'll give them this. Some options are better than none. They really are. So that's nice of them to do that, at least. And also, you get to choose your name. And if anyone tried to choose a naughty name, this is where you first noted you cannot put in any naughty words in there. So they're taking the Animal Crossing route. So you're going to have to get really creative with your O's and your zeros as an O, or your 8 as a B or something, you know, like you'll have some fun times, your 2 as an A or something. So that's all you can do for naughty words in this gen, because they finally cracked down on that. So you can't name your rival a bad name. You can't even name your rival in this game. So.
Yeah, I was going to say you can't even write.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so then that is all we have for the introduction. We jump into the game in Vannaville Town. In Vannaville Town, your character is in bed and is wearing these cute little pajamas. I noted that if you were a girl, you were holding a Pikachu 3DS XL. And I think that was for every single girl that I saw playing the game, which is strange to me. Like, why just the girl and why just that 3DS? I know it's like a Pokemon 3DS, but that was just like a weird thing, and she's holding it in her hand like she was just sleeping with it in bed or something.
I don't remember, did any of the guy characters have it? Any 3DS at all?
I haven't seen the guys holding any 3DSs whatsoever.
Yeah, neither have I.
It's just strange. I don't understand, like, what's the thing? Like, I don't know. So you wake up and you get changed out of your pajamas. You can only do that by looking in the mirror, and then we have that famous shot from the first trailer ever, of the announcement trailer of Pokemon, where your character's standing in front of the mirror as the camera pans up, and you see them change to their main outfit. So one thing that I noted was that you can run from the get-go in this game. You don't have to get any running shoes, which a villager does note, and that's kind of cool, because I don't know about you guys, but it's pretty annoying when you have to wait for mom to give you the running shoes in, like, Gen 3 or something, right? Yeah. Jack, you can relate. It's your favorite gen, but you still don't like those running shoes in the beginning, right?
Yeah, it was very refreshing to finally be able to run straight away. Yeah, and in buildings as well, which was the same as, I think, you could do that in Black 2, couldn't you? You could run in buildings.
You can run in buildings? Yeah, I think Black 2 started that, or maybe Black 1.
Yeah, well, Gen 5, which was good. I like how they continued that.
Well, you know what I didn't like is that they didn't continue the thing where you can touch a button on the touch screen and it keeps the running shoes on all the time. Now I actually have to physically push it. And I'm just sitting here and I'm like, guys, there's some simple things that you could have added in that you just simply didn't. Like, keep my running shoes on all the time. That's all I want. So there's a couple other cool things that are going on all when you first wake up in your hometown. The music is absolutely gorgeous. It's mostly orchestral, which is awesome. I don't think any of it is MIDI. None of it is 8-bit. And it's just fabulous. It's awesome hearing, you know, real string instruments and horns when you're playing the game. It sounds like, to me, I'm playing like a large RPG. It feels so much more epic now with that. Don't you agree, Devin?
Yeah, I know what you mean. When I walked out, I was like, whoa, I'm not, because I'm used to, like, the Soul Silver had that too. It was just like, beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, and I mean, that has its place, you know? Like, yeah, I love our outro for PokeChat. That's like, dun, 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 dun. Like, it's fun, you know? And it has its place, but I think that it's awesome to finally upgrade the series to some orchestral music.
Yeah, totally. Much needed.
Overall, you know what? This game felt like a Legend of Zelda Nintendo 64 game. It felt like a Majora's Mask or an Ocarina of Time, the way it played.
Like, Jack, I think you're a fan of those games.
Yeah, like just starting your adventure. But Jack, I think that you're also a fan of Zelda, if I'm not mistaken, right, Jack?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Zelda. Look at my iPhone case.
Yeah, he has an iPhone case of it. All right, so you're a big fan.
It was a bit Ocarina of Time.
And you know why it reminded me of that? It's because of the fletchling that comes in and knocks into you to wake you up, like Navi does in Ocarina of Time.
Yep.
Yeah. And it had
that, like, Skyward Sword
painting up the stairs and going around it. That was cool. That was a fun introduction.
I wish she would have had the Skyward Sword as well.
Was that Devin? Birds.
Yeah, you get me too, Jack. What'd you say, Devin?
I wish the fletching would have kind of made a nod to the Navi thing. It would have been funny. Just kind of like a...
Yeah,
hey,
I think it did kind of make a nod to the Navi thing. I really do. Okay. I think that that's what that was supposed to be. Jack, what were you saying?
Sorry, I was saying that it happened in Skyward Sword as well, with one of the Skyloft's birds. I don't know if you've played
it. Oh, yeah, it does wake up.
Yeah, it comes in your window from a message from Zelda.
Right, right, right. Yes, you're right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it kind of feels Legend of Zelda-y, and a big joke in the fandom is that Mom never has a bed in this. She must just sleep in the kitchen or something. Finally, she has a bed in the house, which is very funny. That cracked me up. So Mom, did you find the humor in that too?
Oh yeah, I've already seen posts about that.
That was hilarious.
The kid totally kicks Mom out of the bed.
Yeah, seriously.
Like, sleep on the floor every other gen.
All right,
It would be nice. It would be nice if we had a dad instead of a mum for a game.
Always yeah, just like a single dad. I mean, why can't we have two parents? Is that looks taboo?
There isn't. In Gen 3, Norman is
not allowed.
No, right. Yeah, Norman is your dad in Gen 3.
Right. Right. Gen 3. You do have a dad. I remember that.
But that's like the only one.
It is strange. I don't know what Pokemon has against dads. Maybe it's like a creator was raised with a single mom, and that's just something that they always have to do now. I don't understand.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe it's like because mothers always protect their children more than fathers. Mm. Like that, like saying. I don't know. Because then your mom lets you go off on a journey when you're 10.
Yeah, Mom's not doing a good job right now. She's not raising you very well. She's letting you out when you're done. But I think we're older in this gen. I think that everyone's a teenager when you're playing it. So that's kind of cool to me that we're still growing up. I think that Black 2 had older protagonists, and this one has maybe a little bit older than those. So that's pretty neat to me. So
even
something.
Looking at them,
what, Jack?
I said even just by looking at them, you can tell that they look older.
Yeah. They just look a little bit more developed and like taller and. Their faces don't look as round, basically. They look more developed and defined. Yeah, their character designs are definitely a little bit older. All right, so the 3D slider can be turned on at all times, but it'll only turn on for cutscenes and battles, which is really funny to me. So, Saman, did you care to have that 3D on all the time, or like, did this bother you at all?
I really don't care that much about the 3D. It looks 3D enough for me as it is. So sometimes I'll forget that the slider's up or the slider's down. I'm just playing. I don't care.
Yeah. I get you. How about you, Devin? Did you note that was weird, or did you even notice it?
I didn't even turn on. I've gotten so used to not even using 3D for most of my games that I didn't even. I think I tried it during the first battle. I looked. I was like, meh. I'll just turn this off.
Oh, all right. So, so we don't have to have 3D on all the time, I guess, because they don't want to ruin all those little kids' eyes, which is smart.
Or your battery.
Or the battery, yeah. So something I noted was that the diagonal movement via that joystick nub is still somewhat blocky, and I had a question. Why didn't we have this for the other DS games for Gen 4 and 5? I feel like we could have easily because it didn't feel like it was RPG movement. It felt like it was still 8-bit movement, if that's the good way of describing that. Jack, is he where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess like with the very
I did notice
games,
how blocky
they couldn't
was,
really
though.
Have diagonal movement because like the technology, but I guess finally they can. I mean, they probably would have been able to get away with it, I guess, from Gen 4 onwards. But I feel like the diagonal movement adds more to the like 3D, like actual 3D feel that we're getting from the game.
Yeah,
like it's more accessible and more like availability to do it.
Well, you know what? I think that games always had the means to do that 3D movement, that diagonal movement, and I'm thinking of one game that was like a vampire hunting game for Game Boy Advance. I don't remember the name of it, but it was great. It was but it used the D-pad to do diagonal movement and. It was absolutely awesome, and the game had like a little sensor in the bottom of the Game Boy Advance cartridge, and you could put it up to the sun to gain power. That's the only way that worked. You couldn't use like any other light source. It was so cool. I wish I could remember the name of it on there, but I'm sure I'll remember it in a bit. I'm surprised that none of you guys remember it, but it's all right.
Yeah, not at all.
You don't remember it, Devin? Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. You're like a game connoisseur.
I want to Google it.
yeah, it's really cool. So we'll have to find out what that is and talk about it in our next episode. All right, so there are new things added in, such as character interaction, that really give you a great ambiance playing the game. Your character blinks. Your character will squat when talking to a shorter character. your character will also put their hands on their knees when they're at a desk chair, and when they're stagnant, they will do things like stretching or, like, you know, kicking their foot. And they also look at signs as they walk by, which I found to be pretty interactive and stuff. So it's all
very much like...
What, Jack?
Very much like Super Mario 64, when Mario, when you're not playing, you're moving for a while, he starts to sleep.
That was funny. I like those moments.
Yeah, that's exactly. I thought that straight away when I saw my character do that.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Good comparison. I like that. And another thing that was added in Jack, I was really excited to tell you this. L once again equals A if you want it to in the options. That's a Gen 3 feature that hasn't been around since Gen 3, if I'm not mistaken. How excited were you for that, Jack? Like, was that like the best thing ever to you too?
I didn't even notice.
Oh my god, I love L equals A. Devin, I'm not going to go to you because I know you didn't play it, but Saman, did you use L equals A a lot?
I kind of found out about it by accident, but I suppose it's handy if you just want to use one hand.
Yeah, like it's easier. Yeah. Like, you can hold the game, the console with one hand and just kind of like, you can twitch this part of your finger as opposed to like moving your whole thumb.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why it's easier to play with just, like, that part, you know? Yeah, it's great. I think it's awesome, and I'm so happy it's back, because it's good for, like, lazy grinding. You can just, when you're grinding on a, you know, grass patch, use your one hand to move around on the nub and the other two. I look like I'm just, like, trying to be a crab right now, like, rah.
Crabby.
All right, and this is also, as soon as you walk out of the house, the introduction you get to three characters. One is the Rhyhorn. That is it Rhydon? Yeah, Rhydon that's chilling out in your front lawn.
That's Rhyhorn.
It's Rhyhorn. Rhyhorn that you will be able to ride on eventually, as we know from trailers that we've seen. And also, your friends, or your new friends from where you just moved into, come by to say hello. They are Serena and Shauna. They tell you that that you and four of the trainers were asked to go to meet up with each other from a Professor Sycamore. So the game is really running at a fast pace from the get-go. It doesn't like take time to like fool around, and you're not delivering like a Togepi egg or anything. Like, you're just going for it, you know. Like, and it's almost breakneck pacing, if you ask me. Like, you don't get too much of a introduction to the world of Pokemon. You're just like, all right, you're here. You better know what you're doing. I appreciate it though. Yeah, I agree, Saman. It's cool. Yeah. It's good. I'm just like, okay, finally, like, we're getting into the groove, you know? We're feeling it. Gen 6. So, for Route 1, as soon as you walk north above your hometown, I just literally wrote the note, how damn cute. Because all they did for it was they just made it so that you would have, like, a really fun camera view. Like, the camera pans down and then follows you as you're walking through this thing, and there's, like, bushes all around you, and you know, they look like they really tried to do it up for, like, the little walk that you have to the next town, which is Aquacord Town. This is where you meet the two other people that were mentioned by the Serena and Shauna. Tierno is a larger guy, and he's wearing the Vanillite, I think, on his shirt, and from Gen 5, the ice cream Pokemon. And he says that he can dance. He's a dancer. That's his thing. That's his characteristic. While Trevor is a bookworm, he is the guy that has a red-haired afro, Justin Bieber-y thing. And he's naturally very shy because he's a smart person, so that's what makes you really shy in any kind of media. And right from there on, they want to give you a nickname from meeting you. They must take something about your first letter, your first name, because they wanted to call me Meester, or little M, and Meester sounded a little bit like Mitch, so I was like, hey, are they getting me? Like, do they, like, see my name? Are they, like, playing around with it? That's kind of cool. Devin, what was the nickname that they tried to give you first? Do you remember?
Like, D. Meester and Lil D was the two Lil I remember.
Little, you should have done Lil D.
I was like, nope. No, no, no.
They should have been like Big D. Oh, no. Peeking. Oh, there's no peeking on a live show.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so
that's terrible. I honestly didn't even put it together until you just said that.
Yeah, you're just like, oh, they wanted to call me Little D. I was like,
that's funny. Terrible.
Okay, so really out of nowhere and on a whim, not even confirming you are who you are or what. They're just like, oh yeah, and we have these starter Pokemon. You can like take one if you want. Here, go. And I'm like, all right, yeah. I'm taking my starter Pokemon right now. It's happening. That's a thing. Okay, here we go. So you are given the choices of Fennekin, Froakie, or Chespin. And I have a theory. Fennekin is not getting any love because you can get Charmander later on. And no one's going to pick Fennekin because you will not want to have two fire starters. That's not going to benefit you, especially since you can also get that special event Torchic. Why would you bother? Like, why would you care to do it? So this is just as good a time as any to go through and say all of our starters. I picked the Chespin one, the grass one. Saman, who'd you pick?
Chespin all the way.
You picked Chespin too? All right. Jack, who'd you pick?
Froakie,
all right. And Devin, who'd you pick?
Froakie.
So two Froakies, two Chespins. I wonder what Lord Arceus Ariel picked. I'm really interested to see.
I would have chose Fennekin from the start was the one I wanted until they told you that you could get a Charmander. I was like, oh, nope, not worth it.
Yeah, it's not worth getting Fennekin if, well, you can get Charmander later on. And you can't beat Fireflying for its ability to be able to use the HM Fly. To me, that's just, like, beyond amazing. I love a starter that can learn Fly. It's, go ahead, Jack.
That's funny that Noah's choosing Fennekin now, because when the first starters, on the very first announcement, everyone loves Fennekin. Everyone was going to choose Fennekin. And now no one cares because of Charmander.
Yeah, Charmander kind of ruined Fennekin's chances at survival. So sorry, Fennekin. Definitely. Yeah, Fennekin and its stick can go have fun by itself, because it doesn't seem like anyone chose you at all, because you are given a couple more events right here and now. All right, so we'll get to how we know what starters were chosen, but the funny thing is that this is the first generation where characters are like, oh, you should go to your mom for permission. Like, before, we've been told, say goodbye to your mom, like, you're doing this, you're going, goodbye. But this one was like, get, like, your signed field trip letter. And it was really funny to me that they did that. So, yeah, you actually have to get permission from your mom for once. And then it's funny, too, because you're also older, so I don't know why they're just implementing that now. But, yeah, that was funny to me. So there are a couple new X button menu options when you are looking at your Pokemon, when you click on the little, when you click on the word Pokemon. And one is that you can restore Pokemon by clicking the button Restore Pokemon, and it'll go right to your potions and your revives, whatever else. And also, you can easily move around items a lot easier than you could in other gens, because before you had to like take it out in your stock, then give it to another one. But now you can just say switch items with X to give to Y, and I can't give X and Y as examples, because now it's the gen name, but so I appreciated those quick little fixes. And right here is when Shauna comes up to you to give you a rival battle. They give you the type advantage, which is dumb, and she also heals you, which is just stupid. So my question is, where is the tough rival? Like, I want my Gary Oak, I really do, or my Blue. Like, I need someone that's going to be, like, you know, a big Pika to me and is going to try and kill me. Not like, oh, well, here, you're going to have the type advantage, I'm going to heal you, and you're going to have a great time. Devin, were you bothered by that?
When she brought out, because it was Fennekin to me, I was like, wait, is this not my rival? Okay, so I'll just go through this, and then that was it, and she healed me. I was like, what? Where's my rival? Why is this? This isn't what I thought. I did not expect it, and I didn't really like it because it kind of felt like way too easy.
Yeah, I agree.
And mine already had Bubble, and I'm like, okay, like there was no Tackle or Growl like it used to be, or Scratch or Growl, because you never used to have that that elemental advantage in the beginning.
Yeah, you're right, and I think it's interesting that we got those moves right from the get-go on our Pokemon, that they added that into their coding, because on level 5 they learned Bubble, Vine Whip, and I'm assuming Ember, because none of us chose Fennekin, so I wouldn't know. And Devin had to go because he had to go to work, so bye, Devin.
You mean Jack?
Jack, oops. I was talking to Devin about Jack, and my brain went there. Okay, so, yeah, it's pretty cool that you get those big moves in the beginning, and you can rip apart that rival battle, no sweat. As for battles themselves, they play just like any kind of Pokemon Stadium game or Pokemon Coliseum game. They reminded me a lot of that. Saman, have you ever played those before?
Move, actually, but I do want to get on that.
Yeah. Yeah, play a GameCube version of any of them. They're kind of fun. I like those. And people are really into the Nintendo 64 Pokemon Stadium games. Those were fun. Those were really good. I like those a lot. So.
Yeah.
And in the Aquacourt town, there were shops that were hidden underneath, like, the tents or something, and I couldn't find them. Like, I couldn't find the doors, and I was kind of confused. I was like, why'd they make it so hard to, like, see around here? Is this something that happens in France? Like, is that a thing? Like, you can't see where the shops are. They're all hidden. It's, like, a fun thing to go explore and find them, I guess. So, and as you bring the letter home to Mom, as you travel down that cute little Route 1, it's a very simple little walk, so it's not very far. Your mom says, oh, he has very nice handwriting, or something to that effect. And I was like, so we're doing like another Oak and Ash's mom thing. Like, we're shipping the professor and your mom.
Yep.
It was very funny to me that they did that. So it's almost like they're acknowledging already a lot of things that we know as, you know, players. Like, they're breaking that third wall a lot, you know, we're lampshading things. So it's kind of fun that they're doing that so far. And one last thing I wanted to know about Aquacord Town is that I keep on running around inside of there, and I keep on going right to where that those chairs are, and that lady's sitting there, and I always get stuck behind her. So, like, I'll go down, like, I'll run through, and it'll get on the chairs, and I'll have to go, boop, 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 run, yep. Boop, boop, boop. And I'm like, oh, my God, just go past the chairs. Because it's, like, the quickest route to get down. I don't know. It's just something funny. Yeah, no, that lady's just sitting there, like, enjoying your pain and misery. She's like, yeah, sit in that chair. Glad I'm not the only one, Devin.
Yeah, no kidding.
all right, so that's all we have for Aquacord Town. We go on next to Advance Trail. It is the place that you have the example of how to catch a Pokemon. Serena catches a Bulby, for example. There's a really funny, sassy moment where Shauna is just like, wait, wow, you can catch a Pokemon at a Pokeball? And Serena is just like, enough of your Pika. Shauna, what do you think Fennekin's in right now, you dumb Pika? And I was like, yeah. Mature writing.
Preach.
Preach it. Because they're just basically knocking on the typical introduction of a game. Like, oh, wow, you can catch a Pokemon in a Pokeball? It was very funny to me. So, yeah, it seems like Shauna's going to really just be the punching bag for everyone. So you can capture wild Pokemon by any given Pokeball, but you also gain their experience, which is a brand new thing for Gen 6. Okay, I need opinions on this because this might cause some issues with Pokemon that you don't want to level up, but you want to capture a Pokemon of, only every once in a while. But to me, it bothered me at the beginning because I know that if I level up my starter too much, I won't catch any other Pokemon because I'll kill all the rest. So it's like a weird chain reaction. If I catch one and I get leveled up too much, then I can't battle any others to catch more, you know? I guess you can use the one you just caught, but it's a weird little thing they added in. Saman, what do you think of it?
I actually really liked it when I first saw it happen because that was something that just bugged me in the other games.
It's so funny. You sound like you're...
I'm for it.
Your audio sounds like you're either, like, underwater or, like, talking down a cave and it's echoing really far down to us. Just start swimming. You're fine. Okay, so this is the first moment you can catch another Pokemon, and I had a peek a ton of Pokeballs at this point because I bought some in the previous town, and I think Serena gives you like 10, so I had like 20, and I was like, what am I going to do with all these Pokeballs? I'm not going to be able to use them by the time I need Great Balls, you know? So, first world problem right there. And right here, I had an awesome moment where my Chespin learned Rollout at level 8. Holy Pika, that was awesome.
Crazy.
It's insane. Like, that's disgusting. A Rollout at 11, level 8, like, that's like too much, you know? Like,
no
I don't
kidding.
Know if I can handle that much awesome. So that was really fun to me, and that's pretty much all you have for Advanced Trail. It's a short little thing and nothing really to do in there. And I think here is actually where you have your first trainer battle, other than, you know, the rival battle you just had. But it's nothing of note. I think you just fight, I don't know, like a Bunnelby or just whatever derpy Pokemon are in the beginning.
A Pidgey.
Yeah, a Pidgey that you're training up over there.
I love it.
Okay. So then we travel into the Viridian Forest of this generation, Santalune Forest. This is getting a little bit generic to me that we have a forest before our first gym. I don't understand why they're doing that. Although, no, it wasn't Viridian City. Did that have the gym? No, Pewter City had the gym in it. So Viridian City was the city before Brock's Pewter City. So yeah. A little bit different.
Has all of the games been like that, where you get to go through a forest?
I wouldn't say all, but I know a lot have a forest in the beginning, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because they want you to pick out a bug Pokemon because they grow really fast, you know. So they're like, pick up this Caterpie, and you can get an awesome Butterfree or something,
or a Ladybug or a Spinarak.
Yeah. See, I'm a big fan of Caterpie, and I was pretty excited by its inclusion in Santalune Forest.
I really was stoked.
Because Caterpie's evolution of Butterfree's very awesome. It learns some great stun spore moves and all that stuff. So, and well, there's a lot of stuff, of course, as I'm going through. This is like a jam-packed episode of PokeChat because there's just so much that happens in the beginning, and I can tell it's going to start smoothing out and getting a little bit quieter, but in the beginning it's like, new things everywhere. But I'll talk about things as they come along because a lot of cool stuff happens in Santalune Forest. So the first thing is that Shauna is healing you as your walking partner this early in the game, but it doesn't work as it did in Gens 4 and 5. Now you have to actually speak to her to heal you, and if you have missing PP but your health is fine, she won't heal you. So that's kind of garbage if you ask me. You had to like make sure you were hurt before she could heal you if you wanted to get back your PP, you know? And it was annoying too because she like walked a couple steps behind you, so you had to walk to her to get healed, and sometimes that would trigger another battle, and I was like, no, I just want to heal. Ah, little grass. So, yeah, that's a little bit different from the other gems. Another really appreciated feature in battle is that the critical health sound only plays for a few seconds. It only plays for when it says that your health's in critical mode, but then when you press A to move on to the next set of text, it's gone, which is awesome, because I don't know about you guys, but I know, like, I'm tired of hearing that
do-do-do-do-do-do-do. It's like with Zelda when you have one heart left. Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, yeah, it's just like ding, ding. Yeah. Oh, it's worse. I think it's worse in Kingdom Hearts, Simone, when it's like,
all right.
Yeah, so it's appreciated that they finally took that sound down a little bit. They alert you, but then they bring it down. It's fun. I like that. That's nice. Unfortunately, the elemental monkeys of Gen 5 are in this forest. I can't stand those copy pastas. Oh, you like them. Let's talk some of them. All right, these things are generic. They have no originality to them. They look alike. They remind me of those Tornadus, Thunderous legendaries. They're like just all copies, and it's just garbage to me. It's like adding in, people are going to give me flack for this, Mario and Super, and Dr. Mario in Super Smash Bros. Melee. I'm just like, they're the same thing. Why'd you do that?
Hey, I love my Panpour, all right?
Yeah, Panpour is a good cop-out. You know what? I'll give you that, because to me, they're another starter, and I'm of the belief they should only have one starter. I'm only taking two because they're offered to me. But if I was given like a trade, like Devin was trying to offer me a trade before, I was like, no, I only want the starters that I have. The game's too easy at that point. It's almost to the effect of having a legendary in my team at that point. It's just like I'm able to rip through it. I don't like that. So, I don't know. I'm really knocking your monkeys. Sorry, Simon. I'm just not a fan of those Gen 5 monkeys. I think that they're a cop-out. I really do. I just don't like them. But to each his own, that's fine. You can like them.
I caught them, but I didn't use them.
I didn't need to. I was just like, eh. I looked at them. I was just like, what are you doing here?
I just want to
get on.
So as you're walking through the forest, there's really obnoxious moments where there's text that appears as you're walking up to your friends. And it's so annoying because you're like, oh, cool, Pokemon game. I'm going to read everything and catch everyone and everything. And as you're walking, they start talking. So you can't stop quick enough to read what their first text block was. You know what I mean, Devin? You're pissed off at that too, right?
Totally. Completely.
Yeah, like I was walking and I was just like, I was just running and I missed three text blocks because you guys were all like shouting at the same time and it was everywhere and it was just like, ah!
It was annoying.
For real. It was a Pika problem. Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. They gotta maybe fix that in a patch that they're going to probably give out for something very special coming on. We'll talk about that when we get to the end of the episode. Cliffhanger. Yeah. So, and you guys know what I'm talking about. It's nothing fun, actually. It's actually horrible. So,
yeah, no kidding.
But of note, you can see Tierno battle a youngster in the forest because the youngster notices Tierno and is like, oh, boom, his exclamation point appears above his head and he walks over to Tierno. So that was fun. I like that. That was cool. And then he doesn't really like have the battle happen like you do in Gen 2 where you can see the Rattatas fighting, I think, with two youngster Joeys or something. So yeah, and you can also capture a Pikachu in the forest, and everyone and their mom captured that Pikachu. I know they did because that's all I heard. Literally,
it took forever.
Oh my god, did you hear? What, Devin?
It took me forever to find one.
I found one by accident. I was just leveling up, like I was grinding my Spewpa, and I was just like, "All right, here we go, training." Oh my god, there's a Pikachu. What's this thing doing here?
Your Spewpa? Oh, is that the Scatterbug's evolution?
Yeah. Because it evolved into from Scatterbug into Spewpa, and it'll evolve into Vivillon. It'll be beautiful and multicolored, and it's gonna hopefully be my Butterfree of this generation.
If not,
I have Caterpie as a backup just in case.
Did you get one? Has it already evolved or not?
It's one level away from a Vivillon, right where I stopped before this episode of PokeChat. So I'm gonna level it up and be able to do something really cool with it, with the cool TM that I can't wait to talk about because it's awesome that we get from our gym leader. But anyways, back to Pikachu that we find. Saman, how excited were you by its Pika Pika that it does when you see it? It's a voiceover. It's not like a...
Oh, it's absolutely adorable. And I'm one of the, so far it seems like, the few that actually likes Pokemonomy. And you get a lot of those noises in that. So I love Pikachu, and I was when the first trailer for X and Y came out, and they showed that wild Pikachu encounter. Everybody's saying like, no, there's not going to be any wild Pikachu in the game. There'll be just this prototype, and I always believed that there would be Pikachu. So I caught that bugger as soon as I could. I had to do a bit of looking for it as well, and then as soon as I caught it, I kept running into Pikachu left, right, and center.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I kept seeing a lot more Pikachu after I saw my first. And they weren't just in Sandstone Forest. They were in the route above you, too. So they were, like, everywhere. These things were crawling, like, all over the place. But
the plague.
I have a bone to pick with you, Pokemon X and Y. Why is a level 3 Pokemon the second evolution? That doesn't happen. Give me my Pichu. That's all I'm saying.
No. Who wants Pichu? Nobody wants
Pichu. I don't want Pichu, but it's canon. That's the way it should have worked. Like, that's
like
garbage,
you,
if you ask
you
me.
You run into the Azumarill thing next,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Azumarill is there. He's fine at level 3 or 4. Like, he's not evolved yet. He shouldn't be. But at least Pikachu must have been really, they must have been really friendly to each other to evolve up there, because it's the only way you can evolve a Pichu to a Pikachu, so.
That was the case in the earliest games, though. It would always be a Pikachu.
That, yeah, but it's not an earlier game, Saman. We're Gen 6. They should give us our Pichu.
Look, like, at Mr. Entitled Mitch right here.
Okay.
Yeah, for real. Like, don't introduce a first stage of a Gen 1 Pokemon, and then 5 gens later forget that that exists. Pretend it doesn't happen. I need to fight a trainer with a Pichu. I'm like, oh, how'd you get that? With the breeding that doesn't exist yet? Or are
no
you, like, Lance,
Pichus
training your Dragonites to evolve 10 levels before they're supposed to?
Did you guys notice with Pikachu, though, if it was female, it had a different tail?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pikachu's always had a different tail as a female. Oh. It's kind of like a heart. It's cute.
Heart-shaped, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it's a cute thing. I like it, actually. It really...
No, it's cool.
Yeah, yeah, I'm liking it. So, definitely a big fan of that. And I think that's all that really happens in Sandstone Forest. Nothing else really to speak of there. As you go to Route 3, you will witness Weavert Way. I'm saying Weavert because it's O-U and it's French, so I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Weavert, Weavert.
Just stop.
And this is the first route we saw when we were watching the XY introduction trailer. It was a very infamous one in my brain. I thought about it a lot because it showed Route 3, so everyone was like, oh, the routes are starting over. That means we're on a different continent. We're no longer in America or Japan. We're in France. Cool. And I think it's Shauna or Serena gives you the adventure book, and it's the most pointless key item you ever could have. Like, there's been some pointless key items in the Pokemon games before, but the adventure book was just like, you can save your game. You can capture a Pokemon. You can have fun. You can talk to people. And I was just like,
I haven't even looked at it.
Yeah, like, I thought we were sassing people who didn't know how to capture a Pokemon. Why are we getting implicit instructions how to do it again? Little bone to pick, but that's okay. Not as big as the Pichu thing. And other than that, you're just going to fight a couple trainers on here. Nothing of note. Like I said, you can still find Pikachus in Weavert Way. And you, I noted right here randomly that you can use icons in the bottom of the screen to do some handy things like saving, which is a lot quicker than other gens. And you can also access your Pokemon, your bag, etc., etc. But let's pick another bone with the bottom screen, guys. It always displays your Wi-Fi is turned off. Turn your Wi-Fi on. And it's like the ugliest message bar right there. It's like in my face. And I'm like, I see that my Wi-Fi's off. It's because I don't want to waste my battery. Come on. Like, make a 3DS that lasts longer than 4 hours, and I'll be fine to keep my Wi-Fi on, jerks.
Do you have an XL or a regular?
No. I just have the original that came out.
Ooh, ouch. That's why. Okay.
This teal thing. It has a battery extender on it, so I think it's actually 6 hours. Like, makes it fatter, you see?
Beautiful blue one.
Yeah, I like the way the XL looks. And Simon's rocking the same one as me, but in red, right?
No, where's XL?
No, I'm XL.
Oh, you are XL. Look at you XLers.
Uh-huh.
None of us are 2DSs. And Devin, you're working at GameStop now. Congratulations.
Oh,
and you
boy.
Said something cool about 2DSs that they all sold out.
Yeah, they. I was talking
at
to
your, them. At your GameStop, right? Not at every GameStop.
Yeah, we had this conversation a few PokeChats where I said the 2DS I bet will sell.
Yeah.
And Simone said no way, and so I made a point to ask the system manager, like, "How's the do we have any 2DSs?" And he's like, "No, they all sold out when Pokemon came out." I was like, "Okay, I'm just curious," and he noticed that a lot of them would sell with the Pokemon game.
So oh yeah, naturally
coming in. And buying the 2DS system and the game and walking out.
Yeah, it'll that's the because, game plan.
Yep. It'll be because they're cheaper and there's a reason they're cheaper. Like,
yeah, I mean...
They're cheaper because there's no 3D involved in them and they're made out of cheaper material.
Alright.
They came out on October 12th, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know. That Nintendo
Here
had a reason.
Slider.
And they did it.
Oh.
We wouldn't exactly have that slider in a 2DS now, would we? So it's funny.
I
want to
hold one. I want to see what it feels like, but I don't have one.
Yeah, you can probably see one at like Walmart or one of those displays or something. Or yeah. I mean, you're going to work at GameStop. I mean, hello, you can play with 2DSs all day long.
I'm just going to open them all.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you'll get like used ones, I'm sure, soon enough.
Yeah, pretty soon, hopefully, because they're garbage.
What happened with me is I lay-byed a second-hand Nintendo regular DS, and then the prices of the 3DS XLs, they dropped to the same price, so I switched it, and I ended up getting a brand new 3DS XL, so that worked out.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. That's very cool. Okay, cool, so let's go into the next city that we see, which is Santaloon City. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that wrong, because that seems like it could have a French pronunciation. Let's see, like
Santaloon.
Like Santaloon. Like, I don't think I'm putting the right emphasis on the right syllables, like Santaloon has to go like that, as opposed to Santaloon, you know? It's very hard. I'm very American. It's very difficult to pronounce these French words. Like, I'm like, Très bien. At least I didn't say Tres bien. I mean, that would have been worse. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so...
Moving on.
As you walk into Santaloon City, you will trip over the Pokemon Center right in front of you, and there are, of course, naturally some differences in the Gen 6 Pokemon Centers. The Pokemon Center will display 2D sprites of the Pokemon being healed, so 2D sprites of every single Pokemon still exist, and they are only in this little tiny little area when you're healing your Pokemon of like the screen above the lady where she's healing them, so... It's not like in your X menu. I don't think you can press the X button and see those sprites, but it's funny that they spent all this time making sprites just for you to like barely be able to squint and see them. I mean, I'm sure you fancy people in your 3DSs can probably see them a little bit better than me, but
big old screens.
Now your humongous screen, 90% bigger than the DSs. So Nurse Joy has hair loopies in this gen. They're really large hair loopies. I think she always has kind of like hair like mounds.
Hair loopies. You know?
Hair loopies like Katara and the Legend of the Last Airbender or whatever. She has those hair loopies, but Nurse Joy's could go from here. They're like down there. See, everyone listening to this on audio, like in the way distant future, they're like missing out on this YouTube video.
Totally.
They're going to have to, like, search, like, YouTube videos archive to see what I'm talking about.
Like Pokemon Gen 10.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So you can always watch these videos, but we'll keep them up forever on the PokeChat YouTube channel, so no worries. And so you can always see my beautiful face and us talking about here. You can't see this right now. See, people that are watching know exactly what I'm referencing. From what I'm doing. Don't give it away, guys. This is going to give people an incentive to go watch the video. No, it's not. I wouldn't do that. Like, if someone did that to me, I'd be like, I don't care what he was doing on the video. Continue. Okay, so there is a changing room, the back left center, back left corner of the center, where you can change it to different clothes. Your mom packed you a clothing change almost akin to Ash's mom packing his underwear in Gen 1. But the outfit is ugly for the male. Did either of you choose the female character, and if so, what's her character's clothes?
I chose the female character.
Well, the reason I ask is, like, I almost chose female for fun. No, I was like, okay, we can dress differently in this game. We can have fun in it. Like, I'm going to maybe want to go with a different gender because I feel like there's some more fun stuff set up for the girl. And the guy's going to get ugly butt clothes, and he does.
Yeah.
Like, he has Pika clothes in this game.
Okay, here's some real talk. I feel sorry for guys because you have so much less variety than we do. Like, the second that men splash on a little bit of bright color or a pattern or something, it's immediately, oh, you're feminine or something. It's like, I think I saw somebody on Tumblr, a guy that actually chose the female just for having more clothes.
Yeah, yeah. It's more fun to have more clothes like that. I like that.
That is such a stupid society thing.
Yeah, no,
I
work dresses
all the time. I mean, that's just something I do.
Yeah.
But you choose the girls in games too, Jack? Devin?
No, I was joking. I was talking.
Legitimately do. I've chosen girls in Pokemon games a lot of time, and I have fun doing it. I'm just like, cool, I can look different. Like, it's not
what
like
you name
a, like
them?
A It's like I don't know, it's like you're just playing.
Do you name them Mitch or like Michelle?
No, I always come up with really fun names, except for this gen I named myself Mitch, because I figured that my screen might have to show on this broadcast, so I didn't want to have like an embarrassing name. Okay, so, yeah, you can get changed with all these different clothes. That's all good and fun. You can buy all of the X items, which are like X Attack and X Defend, at the beginning of the game in the Mart in the Poke Center. I know for any speedrunner that they're going to love that so much. They're going to have so much fun playing Pokemon XY for not only diagonal movements, but also for those X items. That's going to, like, really get them excited. It's going to get their blood
pumping.
Do people
really use X items? I never have used one, I don't think.
I mean, I never use them. They're really, you have to be really skillful if you're using them to know when they have to be used, and they basically map out which trainers they have to fight, and they see what items they need to use in what battles for which specific Pokemon itself, you know what I mean? So, and other than that, I think that there's nothing too special about the Pokemon Center. Tierno is kind of hanging out in there, and Pokemarts aren't in there, so... Yep, so then as soon as you leave the Pokemon Center, oh, I'm missing totally one thing, that on the PCs, the option Move Pokemon has been changed to Organize Boxes, just in case anyone didn't know what was going on. Yes, Iman?
I was just saying, meh.
Meh. Yeah, well, I was really shocked at first. I was like, I love Move Pokemon. I hate having to deposit Pokemon to withdraw them. I like being able to just go from my party to my box, blah, blah, blah. But now you can do that with Organized Boxes, so it's always pretty handy. And yes, that's all you have for the Pokemon Centers in Gen 6.
Well, there's
and
a Mart.
Right next... Yeah, we talked about the Mart. It was just that you can get the X items in there.
Oh, yeah. There Man, I'm listening.
So the accessory shop is right on the right-hand side of the Pokemon Center, and right now you can only get hats as the male. I'm not sure, you could probably only get hats as the female in Santaloon City, but that wasn't too exciting yet. And it was too much money. I didn't have money to spend on that stuff. I was like, meh, I'm not going to really worry about that. I just need to, like, you know, get my feet on the ground. I need to get, like, a couple nuggets before I can splurge on a hat or two.
They were expensive.
Wait, can the guy character take off his hat?
I didn't even try that.
I don't think so.
You can't take off your hat, which really bugs me because
I'm gonna try it right now.
That's funny that you can't take off your hat. Yeah, that's a good point.
It must be something built in. But
I don't think you can take off your hat as any gender. No. As both genders, I don't think you can. So,
annoying.
And they had some really fun, funky music inside of that. Yeah. It was like, boom, ah, oomch, oomch, oom, ah. I was really getting into it. I was like, yeah. Like, buying hats in France. Cool.
Pokemon rave.
Yeah, and we thought that Roxy's gym where she was like, P-O-K-E, Pokemon. We thought that was cool in Gen 5, and all of a sudden we're up to, like, real, like, hip-hop music sometimes, and I'm like, ooh, yeah, rocking it. Okay, and there is, I think, the sister of the gym leader sitting outside of the gym itself, who is the person who gives you your roller skates. Yes. Roller skates are activated by you pressing on the nub wherever you go, and it gives you a speed boost as you're starting because your character's like running to get ready. So I found a really fun thing that if you like, you know, like push and then let go, it'll keep on giving you speed boosts and let you go faster. So if you're like,
yeah.
So I'm like speeding around and then I hit a chair. I have to go around the chair. I'm like, I'm so frustrated. I'm like, no. You ruined. You threw off my groove. Throw off the chair. Yeah, so I'm not a fan of chairs. They need to get rid of those chairs. I don't want to sit anymore. I'm fine. I've had my fill.
Yeah.
So yeah, the show note that I wrote for the roller skates was literally just, "Holy roller skates, Batman."
That'll be the name of this episode, huh?
I know, it's what Simon said. Yeah, so holy roller skates, you will be able to zoom around the world on them, except for they don't work in grass. And of course they don't work inside, but you can always run everywhere.
Grass.
No, they don't.
No, they don't work inside.
Oh. Not in tall grass.
Unfortunately, I wish. Trust me. Be yeah, little... Well, is there shorter grass? I can't think of shorter grass that I've seen so far.
There's like grass, and then there's the tall grass you can catch Pokemon in.
Oh, cool. And we have some comments that one user is coming in with on our live stream, and I'd love to read off some of the stuff they're doing. Okay, so HP is Legend 248 is giving us a couple hints as to pronunciations and other things. They say it's Oi There. That's pretty cool. And this, they wrote a smiley face, so it's nice. They also said Pichu evolves with 220 plus happiness, so Pichu can evolve at level 2. Oh, okay. You just need to give a lot of massages and some soothe bags. Yeah, but like it's in the wild, so I don't know if that's legitimate. And they also are kind of knocking me for saying that starters aren't as strong as I think they are. And they also are telling us that Cubone's tail-up animation may be the cutest thing ever. I haven't seen a Cubone yet, so I'm pretty excited to see that. So thanks for writing in, HP is Legend 248. Anyone else listening in right now can go and write a comment, and we will read them on the live stream of this episode. All right, so back into our recapping of the game that we are at. All right, so you are also able to go into a trainer school in San Saloon City. Meh, it's just a trainer school. Those things never really impressed me too much. I don't think you can even get any fun items in this one, can you?
Yeah, you get a X speed and X attack.
Oh, I was like, I'm going to sell those for money.
Yep.
Yeah, so nothing too big about trainer schools, and they don't mention the things that they should have, because there are a couple new things that we've talked about in a previous episode of PokeChat of new things in battle that happen, and they include how spore attacks affect grass types, and you can no longer use a spore attack, like a stun spore or a sleep powder, on a grass type, but they should have mentioned that, and they didn't. And you also can't use anything that causes paralysis on electric types. So those things would have been appreciated in that trainer school, but apparently they just wanted you to struggle and figure that out on your own. I don't know what the deal with that was. So.
Which is good. It shouldn't be too easy. Yeah.
So this is where you might have diverted a little bit from where we were going on PokeChat, but if you go to Route 22 before you go to the Santaloon City Gym, you can go on a route called Detourner Way. I had a roll in that R. Let me try that again. Detourner. Detourner. Detourner Way. It has an accent over the E, too, so it's like Pokemon. So Detourner. There we go. I totally got that. So on Route 22, you can grind basically for the first gym, fight a couple trainers, and encounter your first fairy type, Flabibi. Flabibi is a little fairy on a flower, so many of us thought that it was going to be fairy grass, but I think it's just fairy at this point. And it's funny because I saw someone playing with a Flabibi, and they're like, God, stop learning grass moves! And I'm like, what do you expect? It's on a flower. And this is the beginning of the game where you see the Elite Four to kind of set your sights up high to it, but you're not allowed to go in yet. So the music sounds very epic for Victory Road already. I'm getting pretty excited for what that's going to sound like when we get there.
Yeah.
All right, so I grinded there for a little bit. My team was, I think, a Chespin and a Spewpa and then a Litleo. I was basically just going to rip through the bug gym with my Litleo, and I was very successful at doing that.
I used a Pidgey.
Yeah, your Pidgey would work too. Any flying type attacks will just murder these bug type Pokemon. Simon, how'd you get through the first gym?
I kicked its ass. But I didn't realize that you couldn't get, once you were in the gym, you wouldn't be able to get out. So I fought all of the trainers, and I was a little bit weakened down when I fought the gym leader, but I still kicked its ass with
Oh, really? That's interesting. You couldn't leave until you beat the gym leader.
Yep.
Oh, that's scary.
You slide down a pole and you can't go back up it.
I wonder, don't spoil me yet, don't give me answers because I haven't played it past the first gym, but I wonder if that's like that for every gym, because that's interesting if you can no longer do that in Gen 6. That makes
probably
me...
Probably not.
You don't think so? That's not like every gym?
I hope not.
I mean, my scare is so much for the first gym, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no kidding, because my Metapod, I think, fainted. I was like, what? And so I wanted to go back and revive him. I was like, oh, can't. Sweet.
Oh, you're using a Metapod to get through?
Well, I really wanted the Butterfree, and then my Kakuna, I think, at the end. That would be a draw.
Okay, so... it's a bit disturbing that we're trapped in here. We're being held hostage in gym.
None and a big fun. Spider web.
But the spiderweb path is pretty easy. You just jump down and the little water droplets fall off of it. The remaining water droplets are the path that you follow to go and fight all the trainers. Basically, they're all just using Weedle, Caterpie, and Scatterbug. Nothing too special. As you approach the gym leader, there are a couple cool things. She is underneath a tent. She's a journalist, I remember we talked about when she was first announced, this gym leader, Viola. She takes pictures. She's a photojournalist, and she has a surprise Pokemon as her first. So as the battle starts, there is a really cool camera movement of, like, it, like, pans down to, like, show her looking at you, and she does a really cool thing. I think the game just does a cool thing with, like, her 2D animation. It shows that, and that was really gorgeous. I love the 2D animations of the gym leaders. I think that they usually look really awesome. Oh. So that was cool, and then they start the battle off, and I noted that there was still the tent behind me in battle. So, like, they set the 3D battle where I was actually battling, which was so cool to me. I mean, like, on the spiderweb, it was funny because they would just do, like, a blank background of, like, tiled stuff because they were just like, you know what, like, we're, like, sitting on a tightrope when we're fighting, so we're going to have to fudge this one. But when you're at the tent, it just, you know, shows the tent in the background, which I thought was cool. And the surprise Pokemon that she had was Surskirt. I don't know how to pronounce that whatsoever. I'm not going to even try. It's a Gen 3 Pokemon. I think it's Bug Water and is blue with a yellow top on its head. And that thing was a surprise because it was there to trip up anyone who did what I did and caught a Litleo, a Fire-type Pokemon, to try and kill her. So, unfortunately, that thing almost took down my Litleo, but I was able to save myself with a good stun spore or two. So, I was set. And right after that, she brings out the Vivillon. So Vivillon is Spewpa's evolution, and this thing was supposed to be, you know, her prize Pokemon and all that business, but it didn't do too much other than tackle, which was dumb. I was like, they couldn't have given this thing, like, you know, Fury Cutter, if it knows that, or I don't know, what else could this thing learn? Like, is it Butterfree? Can it learn Confuse Ray? Is that canon? I don't know. So the biggest thing that the Vivillon learned was the move Infestation, which does two things. It acts almost as a Leech Seed because it doesn't absorb health. It just takes away health every turn, like a Fire Spin. It's just like a Fire Spin. It's a Bug-type Fire Spin because I think it does damage on the first turn, and past that, it will continue to do damage and doesn't let the other Pokemon retreat, so you're stuck in there. So yeah, it's a pretty decent move. I like it so far when they used it. And then as soon as you beat her, you get that move Infestation, and you get whatever bug badge whatever the special name they give it is. And that is right where we're going to stop on our playthrough of XY. So I hope you guys were enjoying everything that we were talking about. We're running about an hour long right now, and we won't have as long of an episode, I'm hoping, for Gym 2, but a couple things to note. I know that a lot of people have been saying that up to Gym 2 will be a long run. Like, it's going to be Gym 1 and then Gym 2 is, like, all the way above. So if that's a bit of a travel, we'll have a longer episode. I mean, that's the best we can do. We're trying to break them up. And then past that, I heard people telling me that it was going to be really closer together with Gym, so we shouldn't have as long as episodes. Yeah, you can always find these episodes on iTunes in audio versions. And like I said, you can always find them forever and ever on the Hypable PokeChat YouTube channel, which you can find in our show notes, or you can just Google and find, I'm sure. And a couple ways to... And yeah, you can find it on our Tumblr too. And the ways to find all those are always in the show notes for our Twitter, Tumblr, our Facebook group that we have a lot of fun conversations in, et cetera, et cetera. If you guys want to be heard on this episode, feel free to write on the Hypable post for the audio version of this podcast. And that is pretty much it. We will see you on Saturday at noon EST. We will have links available for the broadcast a half an hour before the episode starts forever and always. And once we finish the Elite Four, we'll go back to our normal anime recap. So that's all we have for episode 30 of PokeChat. Thanks for tuning in, guys. And we will catch you on Saturday. Bye, guys.
Bye.